Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday. We're in the middle of February. It's the 15th of February, 2022, in our 12th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The radio station is 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Our call letters KVOI, The Voice. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Pima County Assessor Suzanne Druby. Suzanne Druby on the live line with us. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well. And I understand the valuations for 2022 are set to be mailed out this week. What can you tell us?
Yeah, it's been a busy year, and we are set to mail on February 23rd.
Okay. And what can you tell us about this batch of valuations?
We've been working hard here, as we always do at the assessor's office, getting everything ready for these notices to be sent out. This notice is actually probably the most important piece of mail that you're going to receive from the assessor's office this year. This document that you receive, the notice of value, as we refer to it, what it does is it gives you the value that we've placed on your property. And that value is based off of characteristics and what like properties have sold for in the market over the last couple of years. We try not to go more than 24 months. Mainly, we stick with a lot of sales to the closest most recent 12 months worth of sales. That value is going to be used to then determine your portion of Pima County's tax burden, or what are their budget burden, what Pima County has to pay for all of the services that are provided to the taxpayers of Pima County throughout the year. And so it's really important that you take a look at that notice when you get it. Make sure that the characteristics of your property are correct, first and foremost. And then look at that value that we've placed on. And the first question you should be asking yourself when you look at that value is, could I sell it for that? That typically, to me, is a real good rule of thumb. If you could sell it for that, then everything is probably okay. If it's less than that, everything is probably okay. If you look at that number and you're like, there is absolutely no way I would get that amount of money for this property if I were to try to sell it, then you need to call us right away so we can go over that value and go over your concerns as to why you think that value is too high, so that we can either explain it to you or make any necessary adjustments that need to be made through the appeal process. And we'll also help you walk you through filing an appeal on your property.
How does the red hot real estate market, will that be reflected in these notices generally? The single family residential properties, they were just on fire in 2021. So is that, will the notices reflect some of that?
Yeah, your full cash value is the value. There's two values on your notice. One's the full cash value and the other's limited. Let's talk about that full cash value. That represents your market value and what it would most likely sell for. And yes, in these types of markets, based on the area that you're in, it's going to be a little different percentage. But each area in the residential has been going up, which obviously is good. We all want more equity in our home, but it does. The downside of that is it typically translates to a higher property tax bill come October. So this year you are going to see that full cash value increase. But when you look at that, I don't want everybody to panic right away. What I want you to do is then look at that full cash value and look at the limited value. Your limited value is what your tax burden is going to be based upon. That's the number we use to calculate it. Now that number, unless you've made a significant change to your property, it can only increase 5% per statute, and it can never exceed the full cash value. So in some areas of the community, we have seen property values increase more than that 5%. That's how hot this market is, as you just illustrated. However, I want everybody to understand that your limited value can only increase 5%. So keep that in mind and don't panic when you see that go up. We have seen over the last couple of years, tax rates actually come down a little bit in most areas of Pima County. I don't know what it's going to look like this year because COVID throws that wrench into everything, but understand that they're doing the best they can to keep those tax rates down. We have had an increase in the net assessed value in the county, and all of that goes towards helping keeping your tax bill stable, or fingers crossed, hopefully going down just a little bit.
Pima County Assessor Suzanne Drewby is with us. Suzanne, is this appeal process a complicated one, or how would you characterize it if someone wants to appeal?
The appeal process is not, it sounds a lot scarier than it is. It's actually a relatively simple system that I encourage everybody to take advantage of if they think their property value is too high. You have 60 days from the date of mailing of that notice to file an appeal with our office. Now, that deadline is going to be April 25th. So everybody go ahead and write that. And it's a one-page form in most cases. If you own a residential property, it's relatively simple. We are here to help you with that process. I don't want anybody to feel like this is an antagonistic type system. We are here to help. And what you basically need is to prove to us that your value is too high. And when I say prove, what I mean by that is if you know of some sales in your area that are lower than your value and the house or the property is very similar to your value, then you would take those particular properties, write them down on the appeal form, and we'll take a look at those properties versus your property and determine what needs to happen with your value based on that. Again, like I said, we are here to help everybody. We are out at the library. There's a library schedule on our website so that if anybody is gets their notice and wants help with that appeal process, you can either come down to the assessor's office and we'll help you here. You can call on the phone. We can help you over the phone, or you can show up at any of those libraries that we have scheduled appearances at, and we will sit down and we will have appeal forms right there at the table, and we'll help you fill them out there also.
You've been in office now a couple of years. Are you accomplishing what you had set out to do?
Yes, it actually was my 1 year anniversary, January 1st this year, of being in office.
Okay.
And it has been an extremely busy year for us. And I have managed to get quite a bit, not all, but quite a bit of the stuff that I wanted to get done, done. Most of my platform and things that I wanted to accomplish had to do with public outreach. I've started a rapid response program where in the assessor's office, we're actually paying attention to when fires and floods and things of significance happen out in the community, and we are being proactive and going out to the business owner or the homeowner and helping them with the process of filing any claims or anything that they need to do on their property, rather than letting the taxpayer try to figure out that that's something they have to do themselves. We are out at the libraries, as I've already mentioned, helping people with exemption paperwork, helping people with appeal paperwork, getting out into the community doing that. We're also here at the office creating a lot of different informational brochures on the different exemptions we have, on all of the programs we have, on how to file an appeal, why you pay property taxes, and where that money goes to. We're doing a lot of outreach and educational things in the office, and I'm really, really excited not only for what we've done, but what we still plan to do.
All right, Suzanne Druby. And when I said 2 years, that's the way COVID time works. You've been in office a little over a year, but just multiply everything by two. At least that's the way I think it's been going. It's felt like 1 year has felt like two and two and three and whatever. So thanks.
Completely agree.
All right. Again, quickly, before we run out of time here, and we are out of time, what is the website, Suzanne?
The website is www.assessorpima.gov. I'm sorry, assessor@pima.gov.
Perfect. Suzanne Druby, good catching up with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to pause right here. But first, we're going to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now for lunch. They had a very successful Valentine's Day, putting together a heart-shaped Danish kringle, and looked great and tasted great, too. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open each morning Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast at 6:30 in the morning, and people are lined up, and they are ready when the doors open because they want their pastries, they want their Danish, they want their croissants, they want their coffee, and they are always walking away pleased from Mona's. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com, lots of great pictures of the menu items there at Mona's. So check it out, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. All right, Shelley Fishman is up next, and two very enthusiastic thumbs up from Shell today. Market's looking pretty darn good. We'll be right back.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at tucsonwildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And we are back in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, Green Things 3384 East River Road. Shelley Fishman with me in studio. And Shelley, the market, if the news had not been mildly, I think mildly good out of the Ukraine, it might have been a tough day because there was more kind of inflationary news that was not great that came out of the markets today, right?
I didn't hear anything today. It came out last Thursday.
So the markets are
dreadful report.
Markets are clearly reacting to the Ukraine.
Well, Ukraine is the current, big uncertainty that is facing the world economies. If the Russian president decides to take some action against Ukraine, that is, of course, unprovoked from our perspective, I think it's pretty clear that the European allies and the United States will impose some sanctions that are going to have a very deleterious effect on Russia, but will overflow from the Russian effect and also affect the economies of Europe and the United States.
And we're hearing also there's now been some kind of a cyber attack against the Ukraine. We're hoping that that isn't a prelude to an invasion. So right now it's a very kind of precarious situation.
Right. But, so the markets were optimistic early this morning on reports that Putin and Lavrov, his foreign secretary, I guess, had decided that they were going to pull back a little bit and go forward with negotiations. So to a certain extent, the Russians have backed off of their belligerence a tiny bit. And the markets reacted pretty well to that. And then, it turned out that at the same time, they were moving helicopters and ships and stuff closer and closer around Ukraine. So it's been a mixed message. The markets were down pretty badly for the last 3 days and now up today pretty aggressively, down off the daily highs, but still, up 370 points. It is very difficult if you are an investor who is actively trading in the market to really get any sense of direction. If, on the other hand, you are doing what most smaller investors do, which is working within the strategy, your long-term strategy, then you kind of brush this off. Now, with the market down, let's round it off to 1,500 points from its highs of the year, if you've got some cash, then sitting on the sidelines, then it might not be a bad time to invest some of that money and maybe dollar cost average it back into your favorite investments.
Yeah, I mean, if you're dollar cost averaging, you're going to be able to buy at a lower point, and that's good.
Exactly, and again, if you are focused on what the market is doing every single day, you're going to drive yourself nuts, unless that's what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much uncertainty going on right now, and that acts as headwinds. At the same time, the economy is so hot that with the exception of inflation, what we have is an economy that hasn't been, this hot, you might say even overheated, for 40 or 50 years. So, those kinds of indicators, and we see the employment indicator, the GNP growth indicator, we see almost every sector of the market is doing much better than than our competing economies, say in Europe and the rest of the industrialized world. And so the market, which is forward-looking, wants to aggressively build that into the price that people have to pay for securities. But then you get these shots like COVID and an unprovoked problem in Central Europe. And so investors really don't know what to make of it. So again, if you're a professional, investor, you don't need advice from me. But if you're, just a normal investor, you've got a 401k, you might have an IRA, you might have some other investments. The thing to do, of course, always chat with your advisor, but take a look at your strategy. If your strategy seems to be sound, then stay with it.
Yeah, just ride some of the choppy waters out.
Exactly.
Hopefully things are on the COVID front, they're looking better.
They seem to be. Yeah. And keep in mind, nobody knows what a war that involves Russia and Ukraine would mm-hmm. mean for the overall economy during 2022. War very often is not bad for economic growth because, it costs money and people spend.
Defense industry, it would be good.
But it's pretty clear that we're not going to get physically involved in a war against Russians. We don't want to be shooting Russians. We don't want them shooting at us.
That's a world war if that happens.
Exactly. But there are proxies involved.
Yeah.
And those proxies are our trading partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is very hard to kind of noodle out how something like this could affect economies and how something like this would affect people's willingness to maintain their investment positions. And that's really what we're talking about here. Because if large investors begin to pull back on their portfolios out of fear that something really untoward is going to happen in the markets, then we all get affected by that. So I wouldn't be selling right now. However, in fact, I would be doing the opposite. I would be reinvesting cash if you have it on the sidelines. And there's a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines right now. There's something like $5 trillion.
Really? A lot of money.
That is uninvested and is in liquid cash.
Hmm.
It's in short-term bonds. It's in savings accounts. It's waiting to be spent.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that could be invested.
And we had one of the Fed people speaking out, did an interview. I don't recall if he was with the Fed Reserve in St. Louis or somewhere, mm-hmm. but he thought that they needed to be very aggressive with the rate hikes. And that kind of hurt the market.
Yeah, so
you kind of wonder why some of these people with the Fed do speak out like that, because it really does impact the market.
Well, it does, and I don't think that they see their primary role as affecting the market, but they do have a responsibility. And it's a fiduciary responsibility because mm-hmm. they're board members of the mm-hmm. Federal Reserve Bank to provide the public with their opinions. And their opinions don't necessarily always conform to what we'd like to see, and they don't conform to each other. So we see the Fed chairman being very low-key about the actions that the Fed might take over the next couple of months or quarters to control inflation and to ensure full employment. But you're going to see some people who either used to be at the Fed or are still at the Fed and are in the minority when it comes to some of these, the voted decisions, to say, look, I don't have the same degree of confidence as the Fed chair does.
Mm-hmm.
I think that things need to be clamped down more quickly. I mean, Larry Summers, we talked about this last mm-hmm. week, believes that the Fed needs to be a lot more aggressive than I think Jay Powell wants to do. So I think we're only going to see a quarter of a point in March, and then they're going to look and watch and see what happens. Some of the prime movers of inflation have cut, have pulled back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We know the real estate market has slowed down. We know that some food markets have slowed down,
mm-hmm.
and we know that the auto market has slowed down. So in those respects, we're seeing—
Maybe we've peaked in those areas.
We've peaked in those areas, and we've seen that the level of inflation may be reducing. Not to say that that the percentage, the 7%, is going to go away anytime quickly. But the components of that 7%, if they slow down, in other words, if we start to see a rise rather than 7%, it may be 6.3, 6.4, I think the Fed will take that as indication that it's doing the job as aggressively as it should without putting too much of a break on the economy. Now, keep in mind, the economy is growing close to 6% a year. That's probably three times what the normal has been for the last decade or so. So, you know, even if we do see some relatively aggressive moves on the part of the regulators, that is not going to slow the economy past where it needs to be to continue to grow at a normal rate. And remember, our GDP is already higher than it was when this COVID thing started. So we're in a better position to cut things back if we need to. But again, my understanding of where the Fed right now is, at least the majority of the Fed is right now, is they're going to go slow at first. And then if that works, they'll continue to back off, ease off. If it doesn't work, then you might see the Fed guy who you were referring to, he might have more sway,
yep.
and we'll get more aggressive action.
Thanks, Shelley.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Time for our insider travel talk on the Buckmaster Show with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. Ryan is president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. The Bon Voyage travel experts are standing by right now. They can create and will create for you a trip of a lifetime. Three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.org, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. With us on the live line, Mr. Ryan Hansen. Hey, Ryan.
Bill, good to talk to you today, bud.
There is so much to unpack over the next 25 minutes with you. The news we're getting from around the world really is very favorable. We talked to you about a month ago, and we were at the height of the Omicron. The cases have been dropping dramatically in many places of the world, including the United States, and that's being reflected by some governments saying we're now dropping some of the requirements for entry.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Bill, that this time a month ago we were staring Omicron in the face, and now it's, I don't want to say completely in the rearview mirror, but we're cresting the mountain, and the signs that are leading to that are exactly what you're saying, specifically and primarily in Europe and some other locations, which we'll get into a little bit. Those protocols that have been put in place, and some very steep, right? You can't come at all to our country. They're not allowing tourists at all. Some other countries have said you have to be vaccinated and require a negative COVID test upon entry or before you even leave. What we are seeing is in almost every case, the protocols are being loosened. It doesn't mean that there's none. Doesn't mean that it's going back to pre-pandemic travel, free flow of travel, where a U.S. citizen could just essentially buy an airline ticket, and as long as you had a passport, you could go to any country in the EU without anything more than that. I don't anticipate that for a bit longer. But, Bill, in general summary, the leading indicators of a return to travel in 2022 being a robust year are these protocol dropping and some other data that I'm sure we'll get into.
Well, this is what we have talked about on this program for months now, Ryan. We have, you and I have been very optimistic about 2022. And quite honestly, this is happening even a little quicker than I thought with the European Union.
Yeah, the European Union is definitely on the forefront. The UK is actually really, I believe, the first country to really step up and say, if you're vaccinated, we're not going to require a negative test prior to arrival or upon arrival. That's a big change. And the EU has now followed suit and has recommended and really introduced an individual-based travel restriction. So instead of just saying everybody has to do the same thing, they're going to segment the travelers. If you're vaccinated, and Bill, we've been talking about this for a year, mm-hmm. You want the most flexibility, the most destination choice possible, and the easiest, and I say easy in quotes because there's still hurdles to jump over, but the relatively easiest way to get to the international destinations you want to is to be vaccinated. And now it's becoming the EU saying, if you're vaccinated, we're not going to require a test across the EU. There's a few isolated situations that I would want to make sure you talk to an advisor about specifically, so that doesn't encapsulate all 27 countries. But by and large, the EU is leading that charge of saying, if you have a digital COVID passport, meaning you've uploaded your vaccination information and it falls within the timeline that they require, they're not going to require a test. That is a huge monumental step towards an opening of the world. And I can back this one up, Bill. You ready for this data?
Yeah.
And I didn't even share with you prior mm-hmm. to the day after the UK said, we're going to eliminate the testing requirement. They saw 84% of their the bookings, let's put it this way, the bookings on that day represented 84% of what they did in pre-pandemic levels. So in other words, they were just 16% off of what a normal booking day would look like.
Wow.
And it's only getting better.
I did not hear that news, but I have been hearing about also Canada. The federal government there reportedly close to removing the mandatory PCR testing requirement for fully vaccinated travelers. This is a huge deal for the United States.
Yeah, not just travel to Canada as your primary destination, but you and I talk very frequently about the allure and the wonderful destination of Alaska, and that in many cases, for sure, cruising destinations, you touch some port in Canada. So all of the Canadian restrictions, therefore, are placed upon all the cruises that would go to Alaska. And with this requirement being removed by the Canadian government, which, by the way, as you and I both know, have been more conservative in their restrictions being relaxed. They've been very restrictive for the most part. With this sign, that tells me that Alaska this summer and Canadian Rockies and trips like that for this summer are going to be wide open for the United States traveler to go to.
And that means that wonderful trip through the Canadian Rockies on the train. That's one of your best-selling trips. That could be back on the front burner, Ryan Hansen.
I love the Rocky Mountaineer. It's a glass dome-topped luxury experience on the rail where you're getting into the heart and the nook and crannies of the Rockies, where you're seeing it unlike you would by air or just to a major city on the western coast of Canada. But I'm excited about these indicators, right? Because realistically, Bill, we've talked about this. There's some travelers that if it's open and I can go, you just tell me what I need to do. But the majority of our clients, the majority of travelers, they want an experience that is the least restrictive possible. And they know the world we live in does not contain no restrictions anymore. There still is some, but we're seeing those restrictions coming down. And that's exciting for the world to be opened back up again.
Yeah, and one of the, you talked about how the bookings were off the chart after the EU news. Canada, I was reading travel agents in your business, Ryan Hansen, your counterparts, north of the border, just with this news over the past 48 hours, calls to travel agencies in Canada are literally off the charts, Ryan.
Yeah, the conversations with travel agencies north of the border are there. They were seeing it even worse than we were in regards to domestic travel here in the United States. Canadian citizens were even fearful of traveling within Canada. And what was wonderful to see is that there was a joint effort between the U.S. government and some travel associations in the United States partnering with the international transportation and travel associations to talk to, that the biggest inhibitor to people traveling are these testing requirements, inbound testing requirements, because of the volatility of the testing, and that removing those for vaccinated travelers, because you mitigate those risks to the local hospitals and the spread by having vaccinated travelers come in, that the testing is either not good enough to limit it or not changing the fact that the virus is going to virus and the vaccines are working and they're keeping people from getting severely ill. But most importantly, those travel agencies, those travelers in Canada are recognizing that it's now time to get out.
Well, the big one will be here in the United States when the CDC, and I don't know when that's coming, but I know your industry has been lobbying the White House actually within the last couple of days, trying to get the requirement for coming back into the United States, regardless of what country other than Puerto Rico or the U.S. Virgin Islands, but coming into the United States from any foreign country, that you have to take a test within 24 hours of your departure back into the United States. That is a huge piece in this puzzle, that when that drops, business will really be coming back.
Yeah, we saw this, Bill. If you remember, I was on the air with you in November, right after President Biden said the borders are open to vaccinated travelers that provide also a negative COVID test. And that was a huge step just to open it up.
Yeah.
But even more so, the next step will be to align the United States border restrictions and COVID protocols with what the UK is doing, what the EU is doing, what Canada is doing. And I think the best thing that could happen for the United States is to watch the data, to see those countries not have spikes in positive test cases and issues, that they see it's working. And that is what the American Society of Travel Advisors is doing. That's our trade association in Washington, D.C. right now, is lobbying for those changes at the CDC level. And while the CDC operates, you know, outside of the political, and I use that phrase, the political sphere, it still is very reliant on government data and government influence. And so that's where we're also in that group lobbying for these changes to really open up the world. And I think the rest of the world will follow the United States in many ways. They follow the United States, and this one for sure.
There's all sorts of cruise news, and I want to pick up on that in our second portion of our conversation. But before we leave the different countries that are changing for vaccinated travelers, the entry requirements, real important for those that have just been wanting to go. Many people want to go to Australia and New Zealand. It's something they dream about, Ryan Hansen. It's a bucket list type trip. What can you tell us?
I can tell you that Australia is reopening its doors on February 21st to vaccinated travelers. And that is an amazing thing, because they have been, some Australia, New Zealand's been one of the most conservative since March of 2020. They've pretty much been a locked down country. So that's a big step. New Zealand is trailing in that. They are going to reopen borders in March, but that many tourists that aren't New Zealand or Australia citizens will have to probably wait to travel freely without a quarantine until the fall. But those dominoes are huge. And I guess the overarching point here, Bill, is the world is moving in this direction, but every country still has a variation of a COVID protocol or testing or vaccination or some combination thereof. And that would be why you come to us, because trying to keep up with all of these changes are nerve-wracking and anxiety-ridden and almost keep you from traveling. Don't let those keep you from traveling, because things are moving in a direction of less restrictions.
And things moving in the direction that Ryan Hansen and I have talked about, that 2022 is going to be a great year for travel. Let's talk more travel talk with Ryan Hansen after we take the break. Be right back.
Gastropub Noble Hops in Oro Valley proudly announces a second Tucson area location, where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon, across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico have been a terrific backer of the Buckmaster Show. Start your planning now. 3-hour drive, that's all, to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. All sorts of information about things to do and places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We are continuing our insider travel talk now with Ryan Hansen, the president and chief officer, operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan is the Buckmaster Show contributor on travel. And Ryan, in our first segment of our travel talk this month, we were saying that 2022 was going to be a great year. But don't just take it from us. Forbes magazine, they're saying that 2022 looks to actually exceed pre-pandemic levels.
It's amazing how domestically, and this is what the article was speaking to, that a 6% increase from 2019 to 2022. So we're talking going from about $1.9 trillion in travel spend in the domestic sector. It's going to be over $2 trillion in 2022. That's a 6% increase. And this is according to an economic model that was run by the World Travel and Tourism Council. And it's pretty amazing. Now, internationally, it's not at the signs aren't as good. But if I would tell you that it would only be down 6% from pre-pandemic levels, you and I would both be setting off confetti guns.
Yep.
There's going to be close to $8.6 trillion of economic activity globally in international travel. And so when people talk about travel and the importance to the world, it is one of the most important drivers of the economy, especially in these tourism locations. But to know that in 2022, these numbers are projected to be realized, that is exciting for all of us that love travel, that understand the value of travel and what it brings to you as an individual.
What's the latest now on the CDC? What are they telling the cruise lines? They put out these advisories concerning COVID boosters. What are they saying to the cruise lines?
You know, what's interesting is the CDC came off of their conditional sale order they had put in place back in March of 2020. It had lasted all the way through January 15th of this year, and it was a long list of protocols that the cruise lines had to follow in order to be able to sail safely. What they found is that the cruise lines far exceeded the protocols. In fact, we're doing voluntarily additional and more protocols on top of what the CDC had recommended. So they removed the conditional sale order and said there isn't going to be a conditional sale order because the cruise lines are voluntarily doing more than what we've even asked. Now, with that said, the CDC is notoriously conservative with their approach to cruising. So the CDC is out there still saying, take extreme caution as you choose to cruise. Well, that's not unlike any other land-based vacation that they're saying to almost any destination globally. There's if you looked at the state account in the United States a couple weeks ago when Omicron was at its height, if you looked at Arizona and Florida in particular as where what the positivity rates were, it would rank the highest level of CDC's levels to say do not travel. Mm-hmm. But I think you and I know local travelers would say, okay, I'm willing to take that risk to travel to Arizona or to travel to Florida. It's in the similar vein that the CDC is still saying, take supreme caution. Well, from our perspective, Bill, you and I have talked about this. The cruise industry has done its job and then some in regards to requiring vaccinations. Some cruise lines now requiring even a booster on top of that. And then they are still requiring testing either upon embarkation and during the cruise, or at least at embarkation. So you're mitigating the vast majority of the risk of COVID entering that cruise line in a widespread manner. It still will act like the virus has acted on land to a certain degree, but you are mitigating risk dramatically.
And the cruise lines are watching very carefully what's happening, not only in the UK, but in as we talked about in the first segment, in the EU, with dropping some of these entry protocols. Why is that important to cruising in the Caribbean? Well, the Caribbean looks, in many cases, very Eurocentric. They're looking at health requirements, many of the former British colonies in the Caribbean basin look to the UK and for the EU for health guidance. So this is going to be a big step there as well, Ryan Hansen.
Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings, which owns Norwegian, Oceania Cruises, and Regent Seven Seas Cruises, those are three big brands in North America. They will be removing the mask mandate on all three of their ships on March 1st.
Wow.
And so for those travelers that want a cruise experience that reflects at least a pre-pandemic experience, while once I get on ship, this is going to be closer to that. And please note that for those people that still want to wear a mask, they're not saying you can't wear one if you voluntarily choose to. So it's not taking it to that degree by any means. But it's removing the mask mandates. And aren't we seeing that domestically across the country? The state of New York is removing mask mandates in many of their locations. So it's reflecting and reacting to other places in the world to make sure that it's still a safe travel experience.
I expect a very robust attendance for the travel show, the Bon Voyage travel show on April 3rd. People are going to want all the latest information. I'm excited about it. You and I are going to do a session. Tell Ryan Hansen and Bill Buckmaster where you want to travel to, and I think we'll have a lot to say on each of those destinations that are brought up.
I know we will. I know we will. And so this physical show is kind of your get your appetite wet, get your dreams starting to become plans, not just dreams anymore. You can actually book at the event. It's anything under the sun. So if you don't know where you want to go, this is the place to start. And maybe that's the best place is to touch base with me or you on social media. Find us on Facebook and let us know. I want to know more about and fill in the blank country, and you and I will,
yep,
will be touching on those.
Yes.
If you just don't know where you want to go, or tell me your experience that, mm-hmm, you're looking for, and Bill and I will tell you where you should go. But if you're also wanting to know more about a specific destination or a specific cruise line, this is the place to be. El Conquistador Hotel will be our host location April 3rd. Sunday, April 3rd, that afternoon needs to be where you're at to start your travel planning.
All right, more at bvtravel.com about the travel show and all sorts of information about putting your dreams into action from Bon Voyage Travel. Thank you, Ryan Hansen. We'll talk to you next month. Thanks.
Sounds great. Thanks, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Ryan Hansen, John on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey is coming up with his very popular show, one of the top-rated radio talk shows in the nation. Dave Ramsey next. Have a great day.